Tell us a little bit about your journey into writing. How did this even become something that you do?
Well, it all began when I was in second grade, and I wrote a poem about a moth. And my school teacher called me up to her desk after school and told me that I had talent. And it was the first time anyone had ever told me I had talent. At home, I had a dysfunctional childhood, so at home I didn't get a lot of encouragement. I loved to write poems at that time. I loved to read. And my father used to tell me to get my head out of the clouds and come down to earth.
Dottie tells me that sometimes.
But that seed that she planted never left me. And so I began writing short stories, and pretty soon I was writing some plays for our church teen group. And I never really thought of it as a talent, however, and I just didn't really know what I would ever do with my writing. But when I got married and had children and they started school, I started working in a school library doing some volunteer work, and it renewed my interest in writing. About that time, I had the opportunity to take my first writing course. And when I did, it was like someone had let the butterfly out of the cocoon, and I knew that this was what God was calling me to do, and this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I began writing short stories, articles, poems, puppet plays, and I had them published with hundreds of Christian publications. I also wrote some things for Jack and Jill magazine, but I just didn't feel like that was quite what I should be doing. So I took another writing course, and this one was specifically on novel writing. And when I finished the course, I sent out my first book proposal to Barber Publishing, and they published it with their book club, which was called Heartsong Presents at that time. And from that point on, it was a rolling snowball. I wrote, probably another 8 or 10 heart songs, and then they opened up their trade fiction line, and I sold them The Storekeeper's Daughter. It made the bestsellers list the first month it came out. We were very pleased. Needless to say, I was very shocked. Never expected that. And from that time on, I've been with Barber Publishing, writing novels, cookbooks, devotionals, and children's books. And at this point, I've written close to 70 books total.
Wow, and that's just amazing because, of course, you just mentioned you've written close to 70 books, and, of course, many, many people impacted by your work. Your work was put into the medium of a musical, and then my life was impacted. And it all goes back, when you think about it, to that teacher who, when you were a young girl, just encouraged you. And that just says so much for the power of, you know, encouragement and just walking alongside somebody.
Well, that is so true. And because of it, every opportunity I get, I try to encourage, especially young people, when I see that they do have a talent or an interest, encouraging them to use it and to use it for God, to bring good from their words and to share with others so that lives may be changed.
Now, as we talk about the content of your books, why center your books around the Amish life? How did you get involved in that?
Well, when I was 16, my parents made a trip to Pennsylvania. Specifically, they were in Philadelphia, and they went down to Lancaster to visit the area. When they came back, they had pictures and postcards and all kinds of neat things from Amish land, and I was absolutely enthralled. I just didn't understand why I would be so enamored with these people. And I remember my mother saying, well, someday maybe you'll get to visit the Amish, and I thought, yeah, right. Like any teenager, you know, you don't think things like that could happen. And then I married my husband, Richard, who grew up in a Mennonite church in Pennsylvania, about 50 miles from Lancaster. And so we went to Lancaster with one of his Mennonite friends on one occasion. The friend actually had a partnership with an Amish man because the Amish can't own their own vehicles. The Mennonite could. So that's why they were able to partnership. So we went to visit this family, and as we got to know them, I began to see them in a totally different light, not as a curious tourist, but as real people, because that's what they are.
Right.
They dress different than we do, and they live a little different lifestyle. But inside, they're no different than we are. And they're faced with the same challenges. They have the same emotions we have. And they're just a wonderful, beautiful people. And so when we left there that day, I was already writing. I had not written my first novel yet. But I looked at my husband and I said, you know what? when I write my first novel, I think it should be about the Amish because I would like my readers to truly understand what they're like.
Mm.
And when we left there, within a very short time, it seemed like everywhere we went, we met new Amish people. And they seemed to almost gravitate to us. It was amazing. So when I wrote my first book, I was very anxious to see what our Amish friends would think. And I started getting a lot of positive feedback. Some of them have opened up their homes. They've had us come in and do book signings so they could invite their friends and family. We have a very close relationship with many, many Amish people in every community that I write about. And we feel very blessed to know them personally. We had Amish friends come out here this past spring and spend time with us. And it's just a joy to be with them. And so I try to portray them in a light where people can understand what the Amish are about and why they do what they do and how they have the same struggles that we're faced with. That's why so many of my readers can connect with my characters.
When you talk about having friends that are Amish and you've developed those relationships with them, do they provide you with feedback or insight that help to ensure that the characters in your works are authentic and that the circumstances are authentic?
Especially in the beginning, I really relied heavily on their thoughts. I would ask a lot of questions. I still do occasionally. All of our Amish friends have either a phone chat, or I can leave a message and they'll call me back, and a few of them have cell phones. So I can get in touch with them whenever I have a specific question, especially if it's specific to their area, because all Amish communities are a little bit different. Having that constant contact with them has helped me to keep the books true to this the situation and to the area that I'm writing about.
How do you weave faith into the lives of the characters that you create?
Well, pretty much the way it's weaved into our own lives. Of course, I use some scripture. I use circumstances. When we, as Englishers, as they call us, go through certain times in our life where we're having difficulties, if we are already walking with the Lord, it seems like somebody always comes to us at just the right time, or a verse of scripture comes to us at the right time to help us through a difficulty. For those who are not walking with the Lord, I think oftentimes we, as Christians, reach out to them during difficult times. And like in my half-stitched Quilting Club series, which has now become a series, it originally started off to be one book, and it just kind of evolved. Emma Yoder, she was Yoder in the first book, and then she married Lamar. She has a way of mentoring people. So even though some of them came to her class not as Christians, not having any knowledge, some of them had no knowledge of a personal relationship with God, and a lot of them had no knowledge of the Amish way of life. So she saw very quickly she was not only going to be teaching them how to quilt, but also mentoring them along the way. And so I try to weave the faith messages in as needed, and not in a hard-handed, heavy-handed, preachy way, but in a way that the characters learn from the situations how God can help them through and how he can bless their lives and help them to help others.
You know, and you mentioned a few moments ago about the connection between the Amish, that they go through some of the same circumstances and situations that we Englishers do. And I really think that is probably one of the reasons of success of the works. And as I saw the musical, I was just drawn into it. What is the importance of finding that common thread and the connection, not only in what you do as an author, but just in life in general, finding the common thread among people?
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, because if we don't, then we have this wall around us, and it's usually a wall of prejudice. We think we're better, we think we know more, whatever. We look down our nose on somebody who's different, and we can learn things from other people who are different. And sometimes what we're learning is good, and we want to incorporate it into our own lives. And I know that a lot of my readers are doing that by reading about the Amish. They're very fascinated with the culture and realize that if we could just glean some of their ways into our lives, it's like stepping back in time and kind of going back to our roots, getting back to the more simple ways. And I think it's very important that we pay attention to other people's cultures and their way of life to see if there might not be something that we would want to incorporate in our own.
Yeah, we can definitely learn from other people. That is so true. I want to spend just a couple minutes here before we wrap up, Wanda, on the latest series itself and the Half Stitch Quilting Club. And the first installment there, Half Stitched, and of course, the musical out about that. Of course, not going to give the ending away, so people will have to go pick up the book or catch the musical themselves. But what I really enjoyed about it was the scene was so simple. You know, it took place in a one room, basically, and you brought all these a varied number of people that had their own backgrounds, their own issues. And as you mentioned, Emma, who was the lady teaching the quilting club, she was able to take, you know, her life was even changed because she was expecting to go teach quilting and then wound up God used her to impact these lives. And When I see that, the message that really hit me is that God can take anybody and he can bring anybody together and he can use everybody, no matter what their circumstances, to reach out to others. And so as you penned the words to that book, how does that relate to real life in general with everyday people?
Well, my husband was in the ministry for 20 years. And so during that time, we met people from all walks of life. I can remember when he took his very first church and how the people in that church were from all walks of life. It was amazing. And it just seemed like we blended, though. It was because we all had one thing in mind. We were of one accord, and that was to get to know God better and to spread the word and to help our community. And I think that As we spend time together with people who are different than us, we can realize it's okay to be different. We don't all have to be alike. This would be a boring world if we were. And in the Half Stitched, I had some varied characters.
Yes.
And, you know, most of us, if we walked into a quilting class, would expect to see a bunch of little old ladies. Not a big burly biker with tattoos. Or a young gothic girl with an attitude. But these characters, some of them had prejudice at the beginning, and they began to see through Emma's mentoring and through spending time together, they all had what they called a common thread. And I think we could all learn from that.
That is so true. And of course, that common thread was woven, no pun intended, but was woven throughout the play and through the book as well. And really, when you think about life in general, the common thread is that Jesus created us all, and we have the choice to reject his work or to accept his work on the cross. But ultimately, we all can be his children, and we are to be looking out for each other.
That's exactly right. Amen to that.
And the next installment there is actually The Tattered Quilt, just recently came out. And I want to read the back of the book here. That way we're not giving anything away. But the back of the book says, members of this new patchwork group find friendship, faith, healing, and restoration while gathered around their quilts under the Father's guiding hands. For only he can take what's ragged and shabby from the lives of his children and turn it into beauty for his glory. And as I read that, I was thinking, this quilting club that you're writing about is really a picture of what the local church should be.
That's right. We talked about that at our church this past Sunday, and it's so true.
That we need to be out there encouraging and reaching out to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wanda, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully, maybe this one will be a musical as well.
Well, you never know. And I'm currently writing the third book in this series, so that'll be out next year. And I'm having a lot of fun with this series.
Well, Dottie just started clapping her hands when she heard you say that.